It's not quite as visible as the one in Africa, but the Holy Spirit is the one that is interpreting, because if it's just my words that we're counting on, oh my, you know, we can not, we need to be pitied or anything like that. It's not that bad. But it's only as the Holy Spirit enables, it's only as the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and plants it in our heart that we're able to be changed, able to be edified, able to be convicted. And so I want to begin this morning by telling you about John Patton. John Patton, I was reading something Nicky Gumbel was relating. He's a Scottish missionary back in the 1850s. So from Scotland to the South Pacific, he goes into some islands that are basically full of cannibals. And his goal is to not just, well, his goal is to preach the gospel. And but he was struggling as he was trying to understand the language and convey. He realized that they didn't have a word, or he didn't understand their word to believe in the Lord Jesus, to believe or to trust or faith, you know, just those, that word. And so he was wrestling with how to convey that truth, because it's such a basic premise, obviously. And so he was one of the natives came into his, where he was sitting there and sitting at his desk, and he asked him, what am I doing? And the response was, well, sitting at your desk. And I'm not sure if what language, how he's communicated that, but he said, in fact, he then was sitting at his desk, and then he just kind of leaned back like so, and he says, now what am I doing? And the response was, he gave a word that literally meant to lean your whole weight upon. And he realized that that's the word that fit what he was trying to convey with regard to faith, to believing, to that totally leaning. And so I wanted to use the Proverbs 3, very familiar verse, I'm thinking, to most of us. In fact, I think this was the text for Eli's message as he departed. But to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and what? And what? Lean not on your own understanding. And I just thought, as we would begin this morning, just to ask yourself that question. What are you leaning your whole weight against? Or what are you leaning on? What is your life? What are you leaning on? What are you depending upon? And maybe another question would be, how often are you leaning only on your own understanding? I think we would do well if we could have been wired to have a light, kind of like we have those little, what we refer to as idiot lights in the car dash, that when we're leaning on our own understanding, that somehow something clicks and just says, danger, Will Robinson, or something like that. That dates me, doesn't it? But, because I believe, I'll confess, I lean way too often on my own understanding. And often, the worst part of it is I'm not even aware that I'm relying more on my own understanding than God's strength, God's wisdom, God's word, God's truth. Am I the only one? Yeah. So though it's been a few weeks, and when I last preached, I left off in the book of Habakkuk. And I was tempted to kind of just move on. And I just felt like the Lord pulled me up short and said, yeah, there's something that we need to go back and much of it may be review. But as I mentioned before, Habakkuk, little tiny book, three small chapters, but with a big, big message, big punch. In fact, really, the central theme of the book of Habakkuk is really found in the second chapter, verse 4, that basically says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by his faith. And I mentioned that Paul, you know, grabbed a hold of this. This became the heart of the theme of the New Testament. But when you look, when you think about it, this is really the theme of the entire Bible. It really is. Starting with, Noah, by faith. I mean, some of us have been reading recently, this last week or so, of Hebrews 11. But, by faith, Noah obeyed. By faith, Abraham left his home. By faith, left his home and followed God. By faith, he offered Isaac. When he finally got Isaac, then he, by faith, and the Hebrews relates this, like, it was considered that he actually sacrificed Isaac because he was willing to obey. But his faith was so strong that he believed that even if he actually was to kill Isaac, that he believed God would raise him from the dead. That's faith. And but I wanted to use a picture that I came across to kind of illustrate living by faith. I just thought you might appreciate this. Now, it's probably just as well, but I only had this one shot. There's no next shot. But look at that. That's both a picture of faith and hope. It's like, oh! Or, yeah, like, what have I done? Is he on his way up as he goes across him, or is he on his way down? And it's probably best that we don't even know. But Lord Jesus, as we look at your word this morning, we all look through different lens. Lord, we're all experiencing different things daily, experiencing different things moment by moment, and challenges and tests and difficulties and disappointments and failures and just all of those things. And Lord, yet we recognize that your word is life. Your word is truth. It's health. It's hope. It's healing. And so God, we want to hear you speak to us this morning. And we want to be a people who are living our lives by faith. By faith in you, Jesus. You who are trustworthy. You who are always faithful. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to open our eyes, but like Bob said, Lord, not just to see what's the natural things around us, but that we would see the eternal, that we would see you, your presence, your goodness, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had mentioned that Habakkuk, his name means to embrace. And And both Habakkuk embraced God, but he was also embraced by God. God embraced, it's a two-way, it's the thing that God does for all of us. He embraces us, but he wants us to embrace him. Habakkuk clung to God and didn't let go, even in the midst of a very difficult time. And Habakkuk lived in a difficult time. Times were extremely dark and difficult. And if it wasn't bad enough, if it wasn't bad enough during Habakkuk's time, God revealed to him that it was actually going to get worse. It was the news that Habakkuk got that Judah would be led, that Jerusalem would be destroyed, and Judah would be led into captivity. And I want to ask throughout, as often as the case, but just that those questions, that question, just some of the things that in how we're living in these days, you know, what are we embracing? What are you embracing? Where have you placed your hope? And we can say, you know, my hope is in God. I trust in you, God. But then life happens. And it's just amazing to me how quickly we can say one thing and immediately that thing is challenged. Some circumstance, sometimes it's a little circumstance, sometimes it's a huge thing. And immediately, you know, we're, you know, and realizing that if God is our hope, if God is who we're clinging to, there really isn't any, you know, there's just maybe even there might be a tighter squeeze. There might be a reaffirming, but it's good to examine, you know, what am I clinging to? And then just thinking, as I mentioned, that, you know, Habakkuk, you know, lived, and he was a prophet of God in this tough time. That was his assignment. In the midst of the times in which we live in, are we willing to be a prophet of God? You know, and I'm not just talking about in our times, but in our circumstances. You know, I think of Joseph, and the list could go on. But sometimes I get so caught up in what I'm experiencing and going through that it's just God, you know, and maybe it's even with an okay attitude that God, I'm contending, but forgetting that it's during that very trying time that God might be wanting to use me to speak a word of hope, a word of life, a word of love, a word of embracing to someone else. And so just that caution that during these days, during the things that we experience, that we don't bench ourselves and not stay in the game when now's the time that's the greatest need. I gotta tell you a little football story. Sorry, this is too cute. I probably saw all of, I don't know, 15 minutes of this football game yesterday. I came home, grabbed a quick bite, and I watched the Pittsburgh Clemson college football game, a part where, first of all, well, I digress. Anyhow, there was a touchdown that Pittsburgh scored, and I think it would have tied the game, but the kicker missed the extra point, and his last name blew it. True, B-L-E-W-I-T, blew it. And I thought, well, that's kind of a comment about, well, he kicked the extra point, but Chris blew it, and or whatever his name was. Well, The end of this story is I happened to get a little alert, as my phone is so faithful to do. And at the end of the game, apparently this field goal or this kicker blew it. He won it by kicking a last second field goal to win by one over number two ranked Clemson. And but I just, the reason I mention that is just not to share a cute little story, but you know, he did blow it. He did miss the extra point, and he could have just kicked himself right out of the game and just, but he stayed in the game, and when he was needed, he stepped in and he delivered. And I just think that we need to remember, don't let ourselves get sidelined or get so distracted that we take our eyes off of the author and the finisher of our faith that has something in mind for us, and to regard that it's about his strength and his abilities. It's not about ours. We're gonna blow it. All of our names could be blow it or blew it or muffed it or whatever it is, because we just are. And but God doesn't give us one strike and we're done. He keeps using it. In fact, it's we're more usable in that state, in that regard, because the glory then goes to God, not to us. That wasn't in my notes. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked. But Habakkuk, extremely concerned about what's happening to his people. So he cries out, and as I mentioned, God reveals that you know, I hear you, Habakkuk, but I'm not going to answer. I'm going to answer your prayer, but it's not going to be in the way that you're going to be too happy about. And but Habakkuk, because of his faith in God, he sticks around for what and watches God all the way through. In fact, I've mentioned that a title I saw, or a description of the book of Habakkuk, a conversation with God in the midst of confusion and crisis. That's in essence a great description of the book of Habakkuk. It's a conversation, because there's this back and forth dialogue that occurs in each of the chapters, and it's a conversation with God in the midst of confusion and crisis. And I believe that Habakkuk contains a message that the church today must hear and must embrace, lest we assign too much import to what we see and feel. Lest we assign too much import. See, I believe that both Habakkuk's message and his example of living his message, if you will, is vital. And I just want to take you through and just to kind of watch his progression. You know, first, Habakkuk is wondering, you know, what in the world's going on? God, won't you intervene? Won't you hear and answer my prayers? And then when he hears God, there's this wrestling. So there's this wondering, and then there's this wrestling that takes place with God's answer. What? How could you let this happen? Or how could you, you're going to do what? And allowing destruction, allowing captivity, and just, you could just see him wrestling with, trying to process, and really struggling with it. And yet you hear him and see him demonstrating something that's just absolutely vital. He doesn't stay there. He doesn't stay in that wondering and that wrestling and that angst, you know, that just that state. He moves into more of a what has been described as just a, in fact, it's in the second chapter. He just he watches and he's waiting. The scripture says, he says, I'm gonna stand at my watch and I'm gonna wait and see what you got in mind, God. I'm not gonna be, you know, there's some natural tendency to be anxious, but I'm gonna watch and wait. And he makes a commitment to look to God. I don't understand. In fact, he's saying, I don't agree. I mean, he's expressive. I don't like what is that you have in mind, but I do know that you are God. And I do know my help comes from you. And I mentioned last night that to some of us, the Psalm 121 that is so such a reminder that, you know, when we ask ourselves where self, where does my help come from, and then just that need to answer, you know, my help comes from the Lord. My help comes from God who made heaven and earth. And just remind ourselves that we're talking about God, the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. I agree with Rick Warren, by the way. Great antidote to stress. Say this 20 times. God is God and I am not. I just, sometimes we need to, you know, that self-talk, there's something of value there. God, in the midst of, I'm looking to you. I'm trusting in you. I'm hoping in you. God, you're God, and I am not, nor is anyone else. God, you are God. Nikki Gumbel says this. He says, regret looks back, faith looks around, worry looks in, but faith looks up. I like that. Regret looks back, and we know what happened to Sarah, Lot's wife. Fear looks around, worry looks in, but faith looks up. And that need to, you know, God, I will watch. I will wait. I'm not going to look around. I'm not going to look back. I'm going to look up. And then Habakkuk becomes a worshiper, and that's, you know, here again, that's the progression, that from that wondering and worrying and wrestling, you know, to watching and waiting, to then becoming, choosing to be a worshiper. You know, I've go ahead and put the Habakkuk 3:2 up. I've mentioned that, you know, this has been almost a daily prayer for me in the last couple of months, and but it's you know, what a declaration, it's both a prayer, but it starts off in Lord, I have heard of your fame, or I know how famous you are. I mean, you have just flat out done stuff. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. I stand in awe of your deeds. And I just to stop there for a second and just, you know, he's in the midst of what he's going through. He comes to the point of, you know, not only making this say, I'm gonna watch and wait, but as he literally is looking up, I stand in awe of your deeds and all that you've done. And it's so clear that he is making God his focus in the midst of crisis. I mean, it's things are going to get ugly. If they're not bad enough, they're going to get far worse. And yet he stands and he's able to see God in all of his glory, all of his majesty. I stand in awe. And then he goes on to say, and repeat the things that you have made you famous, that have made you the things that you have done, repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. And even in your wrath, remember mercy. And I just are you still able to stand in awe of God? Is that your stance? You know, to stand in awe of God. When I was in Sierra Leone, and those of you that have been there, you realize that almost every evening in the fall, there's a lightning show, and it is, especially when we got to stay up on the Hill Valley, and you look out over the whole valley, and it literally looks like someone is doing a light show. And it just da 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 da. I mean, it's all like there should be music, you know, going da 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 da, and it's because it does just da 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 da, you know, just this constant light show. And then every once in a while, it gets real close, and everything else just like strobe lights. Just and if that isn't cool enough, that in itself is cool enough. But when you hear the thunder, oh my God, literally. It's there was one clap that this last time, I mean, it sounded like I thought we were going to have an earthquake. It was so loud, and I just remember going, wow, God, that's not scary. That is just it just makes you feel so small, and it's just, wow, the awesomeness of God in just something like thunder and lightning. And I realized that I thought I'm praying that we hear the clap of God. I mean that there's something that we just are able to hear and see God just, you know, just I wished I had the earth would shake or something, all these 4D theater or something, but more than that, I pray that in the midst of storms and difficulties, that we can hear his still small voice, the whisper. Far more important is that we are ears in the midst of stuff that's going on, that we can hear the whisper, hear God speak to us. And that you, like Habakkuk, would, as he says, I heard God's voice and my heart pounded. That's what we need, is to hear and the reason we hear, the only way that we're able to hear, we can hear thunder and lightning. I mean, we can hear the thunder because it's so obvious. But the only way we can hear God's still small voice is because we're listening for it. In fact, that's the only way you hear it, is if you're listening for it. God, what are you saying? God, I'm leaning toward you to listen to what you're saying. And then the last three verses. Here's Habakkuk's declaration. Though the fig tree does not, in fact, it's his song. He sings this. I'm not going to sing it for you. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, and you could list a thousand things that we might want or long for or hope or believe should happen, yet Habakkuk's response is, yet I will rejoice. Even in the midst of none of those things, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And I just want to read a quote that I came, Bob made a reference this morning about being all in. And I'm reading a book by Mark Batterson called All In. Have you read it? Oh, man. God often doesn't reveal his faithfulness until we exercise our faith. And that would actually open a whole nother sermon, and maybe I would get to preach it next week using what comes to mind is Elisha. So I'll just leave, but I'll just say that again. God often does not reveal his faithfulness until we exercise our faith. And you know, you can just see that, especially I just mentioned Abraham earlier. What a great example there. But let Habakkuk, let his words minister, let his life minister as an example to us, and embrace his message, the just live by faith, and embrace his example, as I mentioned, that you know there are going to be times of wondering and wrestling, but don't stay there. Don't let yourself stay there. Move into not just the watching and waiting, and you know you can stay there, but while you're there, worship. Worship. Amen. Let's stand. No matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on around, I will rejoice. What is it in the bulletin or something? Oh, okay. I'm done.